Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather's belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." I invite you to be seated. Excuse me while I cough up a lung. You've got two, right? You don't need them both. You might as well. Comfort, oh comfort my people. This is what we hear God proclaim. We're supposed to know intuitively, I guess, because it's not expressly stated in the text, but we're supposed to know that this is God speaking to a divine council. The angels that gather around God's throne hear this instruction from our Lord, and as God says, comfort, comfort my people. Their penalty is paid twice over. Their time is done. Now is the time for them to be comforted. But to understand the impact of these words as we think about God sending this message to comfort the people, we first have to think about where Isaiah chapter 40 takes place within the context of the whole story of Israel, right? So if you'll permit me for a moment to go into Bible nerd mode here, okay? So Isaiah, we kind of generally break down into three different sections. And so you've got first Isaiah, which would be from chapters 1. Obviously, you start first Isaiah at the beginning, right? That makes sense. Chapters 1 to chapter 39. And this is generally talking about the people's experience before they go into the Babylonian exile. So there's a lot of warnings about what's going to happen if you keep going the way that you're going. And then Isaiah ends with 3rd Isaiah. It picks up at about chapter 56 and goes to the end of the book. And in 3rd Isaiah, we're talking about the people after they've returned back to Jerusalem. They're back from exile. And it's their experience of rebuilding their homeland and the promise that God has for them. And right there in the middle comes 2nd Isaiah. Starting with our reading today from chapter 40, going through chapter 55, talking about the people's experience while they are in exile. It speaks in these longing terms for the day when God will relieve the suffering of his people, when God will bring the people back to their homeland, when this exile will be over. This is the place that God speaks comfort to the people. And so for a moment, I want us to imagine, if we can, what it would be like to be one of the Jewish people in exile in Babylon. If we can put ourselves in their mindset, right? You've been taken from your homeland. You're living in a foreign country. You don't speak the language. You don't know the people that you're living next to. You probably are not with your close relatives and friends who were living with you before. The temple, the very house of your God in Jerusalem, was destroyed. And in the ancient world, if the house of your God is destroyed, that means only one of two things is possible. Either your God has been defeated, or your God didn't care about you and abandoned you. And so here you are, feeling lost and abandoned and defeated, and into this place comes God's words, comfort. Comfort my people. But even this comfort from God does not come in a form that we might expect, right? We might expect God to comfort Israel, and Israel might expect this too, to comfort them by saying, "Hey, guess what? It's over." That would be comforting, right? Exile's done. Or God might say, "Hey, you know what? It's just 30 more days. Here's the timeline. Here's the plan I've got. It's almost over. You're almost there." But instead, the words of God, this comfort that is proclaimed to the people, come in this weird form, talking about God preparing the way of the Lord, making a path through the wilderness, and then ends with a reminder that all people are like grass, that all people will wither, that all people will die. I don't know how much time you've spent around people who need to be comforted, but typically a reminder of that we're all going to die is not where the pastoral care starts. That's not normally our source of comfort. And yet these are the very words that God speaks to the people. And so as we think about the emotional state of the people and we think about the reality that God is trying to speak comfort into their lives, we realize that their comfort does not come from where they might expect. Instead, it comes from a much deeper, much more mysterious place. Their comfort comes in the form of hope. For even though they are grass, and even though the flower can be withered in the breath of God, the word of God remains forever. This is their hope. Something much deeper than their own personal well-being, something much more valuable than their own life or the life of their nation, something more costly than any price that could ever be paid. A hope that the word of God will last forever. And so in this moment, the people are pointed back to the stories that they've heard from their youth. They're pointed back to those stories that have passed down from generation to generation that remind them of the promise that God made to Abraham that your descendants would be a blessing to the nations. It reminds them of the story of Joseph, who knew that God was with him even in the pit as his brothers left him to die. It points them back to the story of their ancestors captive in Egypt as they cry out to God, and God hears their cry and sends Moses to release them from their captivity. It calls them back to the words that remind us how God was with Deborah and the judges, how God was with David and the kings, how even now, though all people are like grass, the word of God remains forever. Think about this whole scenario that we've just heard for a moment. You're trapped in exile, lost, forgotten, forsaken. It would be easy to feel as though you just forgot God. It would be easy to feel as though God had forgotten you. And into this place you hear comfort. Comfort. The word of God will remain forever. Because though the temple has been destroyed, God's word is not bound by a temple. God's word is not bound by a city or a people. God's word remains forever. And so as the Israelites hear these words in the midst of their exile, they are reminded that God did not abandon them as the temple was destroyed. God did not forsake them as they marched to Babylon. God did not condemn them as they lived their lives in exile. Instead, every step of their path, God stood beside them. God stood with them in their darkest moments so that they could hear the voice crying out, "Comfort, comfort my people." So this morning, as we hear this story, as we think about the Israelites' experience in captivity, I want us to take a moment and think about those people in our world who at this very moment find themselves living in exile. Those people who are literally kicked out of their homelands to live as refugees in another country. Those women and those girls who are sold into a sex trade to the highest bidder and exiled into that life. Those men and women who are trapped in a cycle of poverty and homelessness with no visible way out. Those children in our own backyard who go to bed
and wake up hungry. This is the exile that they find themselves in today. This world, this broken world that we live in, the sinfulness of the world has thrown them into this life that God did not intend for them. This is not how God intends for us to live, and yet this is the exile they find themselves dealing with every day. Finding themselves in need of a word of comfort, in need of hope. So now I want us to think about our lives and the very places that we have felt exiled. Most of us have probably not been kicked out of our homeland and forced to live among a foreign people, but we have probably all had those moments, those seasons in our life where it would be easier for us to imagine that God had forgotten us or abandoned us, or that God simply didn't exist at all. We've all had those places and times in our life where we have felt as though we live in exile, living among a foreign people, forgotten by our God. In the midst of that exile, God gives us a word of hope. The word of God remains forever. Though your temple is destroyed, God stands with you. Though you walk through the darkness, God stands with you. Though you find yourself living in exile with no visible way out, God is with you. That is the hope of this Advent season that we celebrate as we prepare ourselves for this hope that is coming into the world in the birth of a boy, in the birth of this little Jesus. We think to ourselves, this is it. This is God breaking in to our exile. Because for too long, God has told us, for too long we have been living in this spiritual exile. From the moment Adam and Eve took the apple off the tree, we have been living in this place separated from our God, separated from the ways we were intended to live. And God breaks into that moment and says, no more. God's word remains forever. Here is your hope. Jesus Christ is coming into the world. And so we take hope. We take comfort. Because we know that our exile will not have the final word. Our sin, our brokenness, our greed, our destruction, our anger, our hate, none of it will have the final word. God's word alone remains forever. And so in this season of waiting and preparation, in these days when the nights are long, the darkness overwhelms us, and it snows even in Houston, Texas, of all places. In these days when we prepare ourselves for the birth of Christ, may you hear God speaking words of comfort and hope into your life. May you see and know and live in the reality that God's word remains forever. May you experience God breaking into your exile. Comfort. Comfort my people. God loves each of you, and I do too.